it's time for Lickin' on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Good to have you with us, everybody. Monday, July 22nd, 2019. This podcast, as we say each week, is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we're grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere, all over the place. So anyway, we're glad to have you with us. Again, a lot of people listen on a downloaded basis, and I encourage you to do so. You can go to our website, lickinonlending.com, and you can listen that way. We're also proud to be a part of the Industry Syndicate. They have a great group of podcasts. I'm going to be on a conference call with them this week. We have a large lineup of podcasts. If you're looking for some good industry podcasts, go check out industrysyndicate.com. This week, I want to give a shout-out to a good friend who's one of our listeners, Mark Dameron. Mark is out there. There's so many of you as we post, and I need to give a real shout-out to our producer and program director who does a great job of posting all of the updates on there and all the little segments. And we get so many people that really are always telling us how much they enjoy those little segments, and it draws more listeners into the program. But Mark Dameron, I think he likes everything that Paul posts out there. And then also Marcia Davies, she's out there liking some of the ones. So a lot of industry leaders. You know, you think about a podcast. Who's going to take the time each week to listen to a podcast? It's those that are most serious about their career in the industry, wanting to learn more. So those that are listeners, they self-select themselves, in my mind, as the future leaders or the leaders of our industry. So, good to have you with us, everybody. This week's hot topic is going to be Ken Jones, president of ResX. It's a division of United Bank. We're going to have a conversation, something that every warehouse lender, why do we have to do this? It's called annual inspections, annual certifications. I mean, there's a lot of different names it gets. We're going to be talking about the timing and the vendors that do it, the cost, the purpose, and benefits. So you say, well, I'm a loan officer. I don't own a warehouse line. I don't care about that stuff. Well, if you ever have a dream, and many of you do, of owning a mortgage company or looking at, or if you're with the mortgage company trying to figure out why do they come in here and bug us once or twice a year, well, stay tuned. Ken has got a lot of great industry knowledge. He's a mortgage veteran and a warehouse lending veteran. So we're really excited about having Ken join us here in the Hot Topic segment. As we start off each and every week, I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. They do such a good job in so many areas. And if you're not a part of the Mortgage Action Alliance, I encourage you to get signed up. Also, we have become members with the Community Mortgage Lenders of America. I've been saying that wrong. Someone pointed that out to me earlier this week. I shouldn't say Community Mortgage Lenders Association. It's Community Mortgage Lenders of America. I'll finally get that right. Also, Black Knight, it's a competitive market. It's so important that you get the decision quality, business intelligence in front of the right employees at the right time. They have this thing called the Actionable Intelligence Platform that delivers data and drives growth. And reduced costs, it's a real powerful tool. Check it out at blackknightinc.com. Also, Mitch Cohn, who is the Director of Public Relations, sent me out an update on some data that they're releasing tonight at midnight. And it talks about delinquencies. There's some real interesting numbers. I got them. Can't share them because it's got an embargo on that. In other words, we can't share it until midnight. So we're doing this on Monday at noon. So 12 hours out, you get the latest up. Be sure to check this out. Real interesting information about delinquencies. So how about that? I'll tease it with that. Also, I want to say a special thank you to Open Mortgage, a leading buyer of reverse mortgages. Joe Morris out there in Atlanta, he is just like rock solid when it comes to doing reverse mortgages. And Scott Gordon and Tana Gordon, who own Open Mortgage, do a great job of producing videos that really help you through that process. Great training videos, and it's one of the examples I use to point to people to say, learn more about you know, open mortgage, but more importantly, reverse mortgage, by checking out the videos. Also, Finastra, and I'll be in their offices in Lake Mary on Wednesday and Thursday of this week. All day Thursday, we got all the consultants that work with them are all flying in. We're going to have a day with Finastra, learn about all that's going on. You know, Finastra's, I mean, their mortgage bot solution automatically addresses compliance issues and blah, 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 all the things we talk about each and every week. But here's what's going on. I look at not only where they've been, but I look at a vision of the future. And that's why we're all flying in, just to hear the vision of the future. You know, since Ellie Mae was purchased, and we're seeing an increase in fees there. There are people looking for other solutions. I encourage you to check out Fusion Mortgage Bot, Finastra's Fusion product. And then we'll have some more information to share with you, hopefully real soon, about what we learned this week in Florida. So check out our friends at Finastra. Then also our newest sponsor and also our hot topic guest is Resex Warehouse Lending, a division of United Bank. Excited to have Ken on here in just a little bit. And then Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. Now, these are both co-ops. What's a co-op? It's where a group of us get together. You join it. You pay a little extra dues to join in. It's beyond the MBA. MBA is great. I love the conferences. CMLA, all those, all great conferences. But if you want to get up and get up close and personal and connect with lenders and vendors, I tell you, these co-ops can give you a decided advantage. So check out Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. Coming up in 2 weeks, we'll be up in Seattle, where we have the summer conference for the Lenders One conference. Very excited about that. Also, Velman, efficient mortgage marketing platform, helps you get the word out about your message out to your customer base, as well as Knowledge Coop and Vidyard. Man, I love that Vidyard system. It is so good. And now we also have AI Assist. Go check out last week's podcast. You know, Movement Mortgage just signed up with Conversica and AI Assist. And you got to look at these kind of companies. When you look at a leader and what they're doing, you may want to pay attention to it. Check it out. Check out last week's podcast as well as AI Assist or Conversica.com. And finally, I want to say a special thank you to Alice, Andy, Alan, and Joe for their contributions each and every week. Okay, let's get into the MBA Mortgage Minute with Rob Van Rapport.
Hi, this is Rob Van Rapport. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last Tuesday, the House Committee on Financial Services completed its two-part markup of a series of bills impacting credit bureaus and credit scores. MBA sent a letter before the first markup expressing our concerns about the Clarity and Credit Score Formation Act of 2019. This measure would give the CFPB extraordinary authority over all manner of credit scoring and underwriting models used in consumer financial services. This bill and almost every other piece of legislation considered on Tuesday passed on a party line vote. Also, last Thursday, Senators Bill Cassidy and Bob Menendez introduced the National Flood Insurance Program Reauthorization and Reform Act of 2019. This bipartisan bill would extend the National Flood Insurance Program for 5 years. A similar bill was introduced in the House after passing the House Financial Services Committee by a unanimous vote last June. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Man, good job. You know, at each and every one of these segments that we do, you can go back and listen to them. Now, you can go to the MBA segment and on the MBA website, and you can look at all that Rob has up there in the videos. Or if you want to go to our website, Lickin' on Lending, you can go to the advertisers and the segments. We have the MBA Mortgage Minute. You can listen to it along with Alice and Andy and Joe and all of the segments. So check it out. Download each one of them. Les Parker and his partnership with Gary Kent Trombone does a great job of producing a macro view of the markets. Let's get over to Les Parker with the TM Spotlight and this week's macro view of the markets. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by Amesworth Advisors. Clap along if you feel like a price without a roof. Because we're happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness sees at Zoom. Bankers are giddy over their full pipelines and wide margins. But now they need to get those loans closed fast because independent mortgage bankers need cash. Illiquidity reigns on a slow pipeline parade. Low inflation reigns, with some beginning to talk about deflation again. Europe manages to generate positive and negative economic news. In the U.S., hard economic data point up, while soft data point down. Regardless, expect rates to stay low and paychecks to keep flowing. Ship alone if you feel like that's what you need to do. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
I don't know what's in the water down there in Florida, but that's what they do. You know, Alan's down there, Les is down there, and our guest is in Florida. So anyway, that's a good segment. That's one of my favorite songs. If I always want to have one of those things I need to get happy, I just click on that. I got that as a single on my iPhone and play it in my iTunes. So good job, Les. Yeah, I mean, there's just real interesting. Rates heading lower. What does this mean? Refinance? I tell you, the interesting days we're in. But to shed more light on that. Oh, by the way, before we go over to Joe, you can subscribe to Les's daily newsletter. It is free. And I also want to point out the sponsor, Ainsworth Advisors. It's one of the companies that I have. And Les is a part of it. And we do board of advisor service. So check out ainsworthadvisors.com. Check it out. With that, Joe Farr, we're heading over to you. How are you doing, friend?
Great. A lot going on, as Les pointed out.
Yeah.
No, not so much today from the economic perspective. There's no data coming out today. And MBS prices are up just a little bit. Stock prices are about flat on the day. So not a lot going on today. But, you know, looking at last week, MBS prices improved about 40 basis points during the week, and that reversed much of the loss from the week before. And so looking at the causes of movements, some of it was a reduction in optimism regarding a trade deal with China during the week. We got mixed signals from the Fed members about the need for the size of a rate cut. That caused some volatility. You know, I reported on the CME group last week. This week they saw very little change in the expectation or the chance for a 50 basis point rate cut. It began the week at 25% and ended the week at 25%. And that's 50 basis points. There's 100% chance that there'll be at least a 25 basis point rate cut. The data last week was generally pretty good. You know, it's good economic data, and it's hard to understand why they'd be talking about 50 basis point rate cut. But, you know, looking at retail sales, it grew more than expected, both on the headline number and without the volatile automobile segment. The housing starts number on the face of it looked pretty bad, but that was all due to multifamily changes. Yep. If you look just at single family starts and permits, both showed really nice improvements for May. And then we saw good numbers coming out of the consumer sentiment and home builder sentiment surveys. They both showed improvement from June. So really pretty good economic data. And then, Dave, this week we have a lot to pay attention to. Not all of it's economic either. It's a quiet time for Fed members, so we won't be hearing new statements or opinions from them. But boy, it's not a quiet time for trade talk. There is an increased urgency for talks, and we're hearing more about increased tariffs. And so it really is at an important stage of the negotiations. We need to see something get going in the right direction there. And then the conflict with Iran.
Boy.
Just this morning, this morning Iran announced that they had rounded up 17 spies for the U.S. The president calls that false news, but you know, at any minute now, that could become a big issue. And then the European Central Bank meets on Thursday, and as Les mentioned, there's been some indications that they might announce a change in guidance to become more accommodative. And so if we see that would be a good thing generally for global bond yields. The U.S. economic data that's coming out includes some housing data both tomorrow and Wednesday. Existing home sales for June are expected to show a slope change from May, a little improvement. And then new home sales for June are expected to have risen pretty nicely from what was a weak May. Durable orders are expected to have risen some from May as well. Now, the big event for the week is going to be the first look at second quarter GDP. It's going to be released at Friday at 8:30. A growth in GDP of 1.9 is expected for the second quarter. That's down from 1.3 in the first quarter. But a lot of the first quarter 3.1% growth had to do with increased inventories and exports. And so that inflated the first quarter and is taking growth away from the second quarter. So you know, ultimately you'd average that out somewhat and it'd be your true growth. Consumer spending is expected to show nice gains in the second quarter. And significant to the Fed and what they choose to do, the core price index within the GDP numbers is expected to have risen from 3.1% in the first quarter to 3.7% in the second quarter. You know, that kind of jump in inflation could weigh pretty heavily on the Fed as they begin to ask themselves if they really should be reducing rates as much as they're talking about reducing them. So I like going on this week, Dave.
A lot going on. Yep. When you look at this kind of stuff going on in Iran, that just, you know, flight to quality pushes the rates lower. So it's going to be really interesting to see the consequences of this. But it also creates volatility as soon as something settles down or the next tweet. Lord knows, there's lots to be paying attention to. Joe, thanks so much for bringing us this update. Really do appreciate it. And we are grateful to have you here with us. We're going to take a quick break, run over to Scott Gordon, who's going to talk about the science of sales. Scott?
Stories help customers relax and listen. They're memorable. They establish trust. And most importantly, they speak to the part of the brain where decisions are made. We make subconscious, emotional, and sometimes irrational decisions with one part of our brain. Then we justify those decisions with another. Stories provide depth and context to facts, which leads people to making secure and informed decisions. One poll found 30% of strangers are trustworthy. But when you asked what percentage of people you know, the median answer jumped to 70%. Telling a story is the most effective way to make someone feel like they know you. Stories provide glimpses into your world and invite your customers to tell you their stories. This cements trust between the parties, and once you have a customer's trust, you've usually got their business. A 2013 study found that only 1 in 5 sales calls provides enough stories to satisfy the customer. So why tell a story? Because it works. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
That's so good. Appreciate it. Check it out. Check out all the videos that Scott has up on his website. A lot of great context. Got a great studio there. A little jealous of his studio, quite frankly. Good stuff. Alice Alvey, good to have you here with us. Dialed in from Union Home Mortgage up there in the Cincinnati area, right, Alice? Is that where it's at?
Beautiful downtown Strongsville near Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, okay. There you go. Bill kicked my butt for saying that, getting that wrong. Anyway, Alice Alvey, CMB, Vice President of Education and Training for Union Home Mortgage in beautiful somewhere. Cleveland.
Yeah, it
good
is
to have you.
Yeah, it's been hot, you know, like a lot of the Midwest, but we'll take it, right, after all the rainy spring. But so I do have 3 really important things to make sure everybody's aware of that are coming up. One of the biggest things is, you know, we heard about the VA, I just shortened it by the Blue Water Act, right? This had lots of stuff in it, but in the end is going to change the VA entitlement calculation. And the way it was worded in the law, because of course Congress doesn't know what we do and didn't ask anybody before they worded it. Sorry, just had to get that little bit of dry humor in there. But the VA has to issue a follow-up circular to explain it. Anyway, it was a challenge because they were working originally with loan numbers and or applications, and that just isn't going to work. So we do have some information that VA will be issuing a circular coming out before the end of the month, so within the next week, that will help clarify how all that entitlement will work, and there's some sample examples in there. The most important thing, I think, is for everyone to breathe easy that it will be based on closing date when they change this entitlement calculation. So that makes life a lot easier in most regards. Obviously not in the case of you have a delayed closing. But
that's right.
In any case, right. I think what's startling as you look at the way VA is going to be structuring this, you know, in the past there were loans in that lower loan amount range where VA would potentially have more than 25% guarantee on the loan. And the way all this new math is shaking out is there will only be 25% guarantee on VA loans, and that starts to really impact how much benefit there is for lenders in the foreclosure process. VA has this, what they call a no-bid process, and, you know, in a lot of these very high loan amounts, too, for example, lenders are going to really have to consider really closely if they want to be able to be in that ballgame with only 25% guaranteed, with VA taking off a loan amount cap for for that first loan at 100% financing. So a lot to be considered there for lenders as this starts to shake out, effective at the beginning of the year. Something that's effective today, Fannie Freddie Home Ready and Home Possible programs. Well, Fannie's is effective today. Freddie's is effective on the 28th, where they're changing to the 80% area median income. What's nice about this is if you take the application before that date, you've got a little bit of time still for Freddie. It does run with the case file loan number, not your loan number, but the case file ID in the system, either system. And as long as you can retain that, you know, sometimes ordering a credit report can trigger a new one. But, you know, there are lenders who do and don't have problems with that. So as long as you can retain that number from the original submission, if you were using 100% of the area median income for the higher LTV, you'll be okay. So, but heads up for those of you who like those two products, those changes are going into effect this week. And then last but not least, of course, is the big news about the U.S. District Court in Utah putting a hold on the government entity verifications that are required as of Mortgagee Letter 1906 on FHA loans, which impacts the Chenoa Fund and impacts all your state bond programs. So what we're hearing from the states and their servicers is it looks like they're going to keep their disclosure. So states that were in front of the July 23rd deadline, some of them put disclosure requirements. New Mexico, Texas, Arizona, Delaware, all issued disclosure requirements. And they're saying they're going to keep those. So even though HUD's going, all right, we don't need it anymore because we've got other problems now, and now HUD's going to have to either sue back, countersue, or just go through the process. All Chenoa wanted, I think, was that HUD went through the standard process. So we will wait and see, but that's just a heads up that your bond programs, check your bond providers, because they may still be moving forward with it. And that's my report for today, Dave.
That's
back to you.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of changes. There's also changes in the approval process to get approved with Fannie Mae. There's been some new adjustments. And so lots of things going on, lots of changes there. Stay tuned. Listen to Alice Alvey each and every week. And you can say, oh, I missed Alice last week. You know where to go. On the website, lookonlending.com. Go up there, download all of Alice's segments. You can listen to them all just stacked up and just get a full diet of Alice. People do that, Alice. They love listening to you. And there's a lot of great content. So thank you. Appreciate you being here with us. We have an advertiser, Knowledge Coop. So grateful for our partnership with Knowledge Coop. Be sure to check out knowledgecoop.com.
Hey, Nathan here from the Knowledge Coop. Do you need to teach a course? Have you considered maybe using the Socratic method? See, it's a process of using questions that engage learners to question their assumptions in order to eliminate contradictions. The primary goal is not to have listeners try to answer unanswerable questions, but to get them to develop critical thinking and to keep them engaged in your topic. Have you got some training to do? Check out the Knowledge Coop for fun and easy video-based training for the mortgage professionals out there. And it's all powered by a smart digital platform.
We're going to run over to Alan Pollack right now for the sake of time and get a tech update for this week. Alan, good to know that you're in the neighborhood of our guest. And we were kidding earlier, you were just opening the front door and waving to Ken, our guest. But anyway, it's good to have you with us and good to have someone in your neighborhood with us as the Hot on the Hot Topic.
Oh, yeah, segment. It's good to be here. It's so funny with neighbors, especially in the industry, either you see them in airports or at conferences. You don't always see them in the neighborhood. So
that's so true.
Excited to hear from Ken in just a little bit. And hopefully I don't have to wait to see it at a conference or in the airport. Yeah. Speaking of airports, I have something I was preparing for next week, which is the amount of money spent per minute per person in an airport. So in the mortgage industry, we look at how much is a cost per loan. They look at how much investment needs to be made into security lines in order to support the amount of money a person spends per minute, not in a security line. Very, very interesting. So I'll have that next week. All right, David, Pampers.
Yes.
The diaper company, right? Pampers. Yeah. They get into wearables. So if you think tech hasn't gone where it won't go, you now can get a smart diaper.
Diaper.
And it'll tell you.
That's hilarious. You're
it'll
getting an email notification.
Yes.
Baby's diaper. Oh, that's called bad parenting, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. It comes with a sensor, and it will alert parents via an app notification if it's wet. It only knows number one, by the way, not number two.
Okay. That's a deep,
all right, so let's
that's
move on.
Next, that's version number two, so to speak. That'll be coming. You'll identify both. That's hilarious. Are you serious?
Right.
Oh,
as,
gosh.
As many of us have heard technology? In technology, it's in dev. So agent, there's an announcement made of an agent matching site called HomeLight.
You are hilarious.
It's snapped up. It's in dev. There's an agent matching site. It's called HomeLight, which I've never actually heard of them, but the article is really interesting. So they acquired a digital mortgage startup called Eve, E-A-V-E, almost like the word weave in a way, but it's just Eve. And okay. Not only have they launched this digital mortgage platform, but they're also going to be offering loans to buyers in California, Colorado, Washington, Oregon, Pennsylvania, and Texas. And what they say is that buyers and sellers are fully informed and they're underwritten before meeting HomeLight agents. And it includes escrow services. So if you think about where technology is going and lending, how they're merging together, there are folks out there that are trying something different. It's not a new concept, but if you're interested in hearing what it's about, go Google HomeLight and you can check that out. Also, you know, we've talked in the past about Equifax and the data breach. You know, there are X amount of data breaches per day. I don't know, maybe about a year ago, we talked about how many per second are occurring. Well, anyways, Equifax has agreed to pay up to $700 million for the data breach. It was one of the nation's top three credit reporting agencies, as we all know. I'm reading a couple notes here, of course. But what they're basically saying is that they have to pay $700 million for Social Security numbers and other personal data. Almost half of the U.S. population was in that breach.
Wow.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on from the negative to the positive. So,
yes.
In hiring technology people, I won't repeat the acronym because everybody should know that 8-digit acronym by now. But, you know, in thinking about how to make technology and the process better, you know, everybody's probably saying, I hear all these great things every week about digital mortgage and these companies that are building this new technology and the VC money's coming in and X, Y, and Z, right? But it's how do you manage technology? We've talked about that. Well, how do you hire the right people? Do you have the right people?
Boy,
I did a little bit of searching on the internet. This isn't an all-inclusive list, so, you know, please understand that. But these are some good topics that you want to think about. And so I'm going to run through them kind of quickly here. The first one is when you talk to technology leadership or your technology team or you're interviewing somebody new. Let's go with interviewing somebody new. You want to say to them, I'm not a tech person. Can you please explain that, this technology, in simple terms? And you want to look at the ability for them to communicate with non-technical people. And you want to see, do they avoid acronyms and jargon? And how well can they break down complicated processes? Ask them a few dumb questions you may know the answer to. And we know inside of our industry, we want to say we want to hire people with the right knowledge. Sometimes that's not always the case. I've heard the opposite side of that. But ask them the right questions. And think about this. If a business executive was to come to you, you're asking them this, and say, we need to pursue a digital transformation right away, and we need blockchain, and we need some other type of hype technology, how would that person you're talking to guide the discussion back to the business strategy? Do they talk about the business strategy? Another item I wanted to bring up, this is a really good one. Ask them, how have they cultivated the mindset in IT and the broader organization in order to deliver the promise of technology in today's transformational environment? So in other words, do they understand the corporate mindset that they're operating in? And do they understand what team strength means to the success? And have they ever created in this space the consultancy to learn? And do they teach in that process? And then one more item I want to bring up that's extremely important. And, you know, we probably can come back to this topic, David, because there's a lot of things like how do you separate signal from noise? How do they generate a plan? How do they track that plan? What do they do when there's turmoil in the plan? But here's the most important part. It's character. What is somebody's intent and what is their integrity? And how do you understand?
Boy.
Do they have self-awareness? How do you get them to tell you? Do they have humility and empathy and compassion? So those are really important, especially for someone that's going to lead and drive a technology team. Hopefully those are good tips that will help you out. We can dive into that deeper another time. And I'm excited to listen to Ken today. Yes.
Yeah. Listen to your diaper. That's hilarious. Sensors in the diaper. Not surprising. Sensors are getting so cheap these days. You can put those in there. But, you know, you really hit on some of the things when it comes to hiring somebody is, can they take the complex and make it normal? That's going to be a great segue into Andy Schell here in just a minute, who does that very well on
the
financial side. But I want to just say a quick word about MortgageBot, the Finastra product. Dan Putney, the managing director of America's Community Lender Markets, was telling her crowd. But anyway, we were all together, and Dan had Eric Schaub, and Eric did a great job. And we're going to play that later when you listen to the download. But I just want to say this about technology companies. And I'll tell you, Alan hit on some really good points. I listen to technology companies, and they listen to their big grandioso plans. They have this long-term vision. It's all about execution, folks.
There was a study done just a couple of years ago by Carlisle and Gallagher that said 79% of bank customers go somewhere else for their mortgage. And it revolved around having the technology.
It doesn't have to be this elegant, crowded screen. Sometimes the quicker the buttons you can just click on there to get to it.
But I think the key thing that we're finding is it's that overall experience. You look at the millennials, and they're a very educated group of people. We also look at the millennials, we all think of them as these young kids running around with iPads. They're not. They're 28 to 42-year-olds now. These are people working in your branches.
And once you have it on mobile, Eric, you know how you can track that.
Absolutely. We look at it every day. We went ahead and implemented the MortgageBot mobile at Bank Midwest, started from nothing, and right now we're taking about 40% of our mortgage apps via the mobile.
And, you know, when you look at MortgageBot, just talk about experience. So this has been around for about 20 years. We've got close to 1,500 customers using it. And I know there's some other vendors out there, but they've got about 50, maybe 100 customers. The technology here is phenomenal.
And it was Alan that turned me on to one of their podcasts that they did, an interview that actually was done. We're going to put a link of that into our show notes. So if you think, well, that's a product, they haven't done an update here recently, well, stay tuned. Finastra is on the move. We're proud to have them as a sponsor because they are technology leaders. So with that, let's get over to the Profit Doctor, Andy Schell. Good to have you with us. And when Alan was talking about one of the tests is to explain the complex and make it simple to understand, I immediately jumped over and started thinking of you, friend, because Alan does a good job at doing that. He has these brilliant moments where he just says things, and it just I'm going like, record that, do that, what'd you say? And you do the same thing when it comes to explaining financials. So talk about some of our listeners' bottom lines and what can they do to make it better.
So first off, this is servicing week. We had servicing last week as well with the MBA webinar that we teach on Wednesday.
Oh, that's
we
right.
Teach another
yes.
one this Wednesday. Last week was on overview of servicing. This week is on the nuts and bolts, the details, deep dive into the functions of servicing. So I thought today for the Profit Doctor, I would talk about mortgage servicing rights, what we lovingly refer to as MSR, and how the MSR impacts financials. And it's a sneaky little trick, and it can be disastrous, so we need to understand this. So if we're going along originating loans and we are selling our loans released, we get the profit for the servicing release at the moment we sell the loans, almost instantaneously. We sell the loans, we get the cash from the investor. Obviously, some of the securitization stuff is way complicated because that's the retaining servicing. But if you're releasing servicing, you get the money simple and easy. But when we start retaining servicing, the accounting people got out their smoke and mirrors and made it complicated. So now we got to talk about it because they messed
it
all
so
up.
That's so true. Yep.
So what accounting does is accounting counts MSR profit when you create the mortgage servicing right, but you don't actually collect the money for years to come potentially. So the SRP is profit and cash are all together. With the MSR, the profit and cash are separated, and they can be separated by long periods of time. So this is similar to the IRLC's pipeline profit, where we're counting revenue that is not aligned with cash. So it's important to remember MSR is not money. You can't spend it. MSR is not cash. We're counting the profit now, but we don't get the cash for well into the future on servicing. It could be 20 years before you actually get all of the profit. So this accounting treatment is kind of like, again, the smoke and mirrors, it's kind of like we're making a profit loan to ourselves. So when we're loaning ourselves profit today, in the hopes that we get the cash in the future. Because it's loan profit, it's not real. It's fake. It's I call it wimpy profit. So if you remember Popeye the cartoon, he had a character with him called Wimpy, and Wimpy would always say, "I'll pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today." So he understood the time value of money. He understood the point of consumption and then repayment. That's what MSR does. You count it today, but you don't actually get the money until in the future. So the MSR counts profit, but you don't get the cash. So we need to be careful with this. So wimpy profit, fake profit. If the world, the real word is called intangible revenue, and it makes profit hard to find when you look at a P&L because most of the time accounting doesn't make it obvious. If they actually can bundle it all together and say, here's your profit, even though the profit has this funny money inside of it. It's called intangible revenue. So we need to make the MSR profit visible. So what I suggest doing is we have accounting prepare the financial statements that shows the real profit by removing all the intangible profit from the P&L. This way you can see what's happening. It takes off the MSR, it takes off the IRLC. This way you can more closely align your operations with your cash flow. It's much simpler to follow. So what this is really called, the accounting word for it, is fair value methodology creates these hidden traps from the indistinguishability of intangible revenue. So that's the real word for it, but what I call it is I just say fake profit makes P&Ls dangerous. So let's not do that. Let's create a P&L that shows operations without any of the funny money, remove intangible revenue, create a P&L, that'll more closely align with cash, then throw in the intangible revenue items to get to bottom line. That's not GAAP, but it's better for business owners because that way you don't get confused with this intangible revenue. On Wall Street, intangible revenue is excluded. They know not to count it. But in mortgage lending, we've got a number of things that create an intangible revenue that we'll talk about at another time. But for now, MSR is not cash. You can't spend it. So be careful.
Be careful. That's good. Good stuff. Appreciate it. You know, accounting is getting to be more and more complicated in this world of mortgage banking, and it's so important that you have someone who can guide you through it. The Profit Doctor can do just that, and if you want his help, get a hold of Andy Schell by emailing andy@mbs-team.com. Andy, good job. Is there any more sessions on that webinar, or is that wrapped?
This week. This week, Wednesday, is the last one, and then we don't start accounting again until October.
Oh, good. Well, you did a good job. I appreciate it. Like Alan said, taking the complex, making it easy to understand. You do that very well, like Alan does that
Thank you.
The tech world. So, yeah, good. Got two guys that make things simple and easy to understand. That's why you're here. Anyway, folks, this is where we end up the weekly update. Again, we're breaking the live podcast into two segments. So if you're listening on a downloaded basis and you're going, wait a minute, where was the hot topic? Just stay tuned. It's going to follow this automatically.
You just heard an audio clip from Lickin' On Lending. And here are the sponsors that make this show possible.
I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, Rezax, Warehouse Lending Division, as well as the MBA, Lenders One, Mortgage Collaborative, CMLA, Svelma, Knowledge Coop, Vidyard, and AI Assist.